In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the more recurring themes and images in Scripture are stones. From the very beginning, there are stone pillars to mark the acts of God, stones for building homes and fortresses, stones at the sites of wells, stones for altars, water-bearing stones, tomb-sealing stones, stones thrown to mark judgment of the community. In fact, one of Jesus' most beloved disciples, Peter, is called the rock on whom Jesus will build the church. And what we know, of course, is that rocks and stones can be both a blessing that gives life, but they can also become a barrier and even a weapon of death. If we think about it, we know rocks sometimes as a hindrance. Rocks in our shoes hurting our feet when we're off walking somewhere. Rocks in the earth when you're trying to plant a garden. Or like at Westminster Canterbury when they were going to add the new section and it took a lot longer. Right, friends? Because of how much rock was underneath the earth that they had to blast out of the way in order to build the foundation for that new section. What we know, especially in this area, is of course there is so much more hidden rock than we would ever understand. Rocks have been used and are used brutally to put people to death, like in our reading in the Acts of the Apostles today. We, as the body of Christ, are cautioned against becoming a stumbling block, a stone in the way for others. But at the same time, stones and rocks can be beautiful and can be useful. I happen to be somebody that collects stones from significant places and moments. So I have stones from the camp I grew up at, where I was a sailing instructor. I have stones from Ireland when I took the youth on pilgrimage. I have stones from Lindisfarne when I went on pilgrimage with the adults, when Deidre and Jim organized a beautiful 2-week journey. I have stones from lots of places, from beaches and travels around the world. I have stones even in my office that people have given me. Stones can be beautiful and they can be useful. Our parish is noticeably a little small in church this morning because a good portion of the parish is at Shrinemont right now for our parish weekend. And yesterday we took the young people on a hike, and because of the vast amount of rain we had in the 2 weeks, we chose what we considered possibly the safest option, and it's a hike to Seven Springs, and Webster decided that the kids should go, we should take the mile-long walk on the road first to get to the springs in case they were too fast and too treacherous to cross. Well, every time we came to a spot where we could cross the water, and it was raging a few times, and I'm only 5'4", I'm not very tall, I'm not 6'4", like George. I can't just leap across and make it to the other side. And we had a fourth grader and a second grader, and so we were trying to make the crossings as safe as possible. And we got to one particular spot, and it was pretty bad, and Webster and George and some of the taller kids had already gone across, and we were trying to figure out the easiest way to get those of us with shorter legs across. And so Webster picks up this stone on the other side, and he was trying to, I think, toss it in such a way that it would land in this spot to add another place to put a foot. Well, the first rock he threw didn't do much, and it kind of went under the water because it was deep, so deep. And so he picked up another one and tossed it a little closer to a place where George could reach it and position it so that it could become another footstone, another place for us to put our feet to make it to the other side. rock and stone, can be used for good, right? Think about the ways that we build our churches. I know the church that I grew up in was, you know, the first vestry was in 1706, and the cornerstone of the church was laid in 1742. We remember the milestones of the beginnings of things, and we refer to them as those cornerstones. We talk about in the psalm today, the psalmist cries out to God and says, "Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe, for you are my crag and my stronghold." Rocks can become a place where we know that we have sure footing. And so today, Peter writes to the church, not necessarily about what they are to do, but about their identity. Peter tells the church, "Come, come and be a living stone, though rejected by the world, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, and to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ." To be living stones, to let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. One of the questions that I was thinking about this week is, what does it mean and what does it look like for us to be living stones? We don't really think of stones as being living. They're not breathing, they're not animated, they don't necessarily have life within them. And yet it is the imagery that we are told to be living stones. And when I think of living stones, I think about how sometimes as children, we can take a stone and make it into anything. We can pretend that it is anything. One of the little girls yesterday had a rock and was pretending it was a cockatoo. All it takes is a little imagination. So what imagination do we have to understand what it means for us to be living stones? For me, that idea of being a living stone means we have sure footing on the firm foundation of what we believe about God and God in our life and that relationship that we have with God. But being living and breathing beings means that we have the opportunity to either be stones for good or annoying rocks in the shoes of the world. We have the ability to be the rock that might be placed in such a way to help others see the way, the truth, and the life that is Jesus Christ. Or, if we're not paying attention, we might become those stumbling blocks that we're warned against being. I think that being a living stone is a choice that we have to make. The New Testament professor Janine Brown writes of this text that, of course, Jesus is the living stone example from which we emulate ourselves. Jesus is the living stone whom believers have embraced and in whom they have found hope. And we are taught that Jesus is the cornerstone rejected by the people, but of the greatest value to God. We, therefore, are being made and shaped and molded, living stones, into the image of that very person whom we follow. When Jesus is talking with the disciples today, and it's this kind of odd moment where we kind of go back a ways in John. And Jesus is with the disciples. And he has been telling them over and over again what is to come. And he tells them, don't be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And he says, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. That there are abiding places, places for us to be with God in Christ. And that he goes to prepare that place. And in a way, in my mind, as I thought about these rocks, I thought about what is it that Christ does laying those stones in such a way that we can follow. And so when Thomas asks, how will we know where to go? And Jesus says to those disciples gathered, I am the way and the truth and the life. The scholar Caroline Lewis cautions the church to be very careful about it, how it translates and understands that phrase, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Caroline Lewis is a Lutheran scholar at Luther Seminary, and John is actually her most studied text in the New Testament, and she's wrote extensively about these verses. And one of the things that she teaches is that the church could use these words to be exclusionary and hurtful in a way. But what we know most about Jesus Christ is that he was not exclusionary. In all ways, he invited people to be with him. And so when he is talking specifically to the church, those believers who needed to not be troubled about what was to come, for him to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, was to encourage them to keep on the path. So my friends, what does it look like for you to be a living stone? What does it look like for you to be shaped and molded in the image of him who came to be among us as one of us, to reconcile us to God? Our collect this morning reminds us to know Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, so that we could steadfastly follow Christ's steps in the way that leads to that eternal, abundant life that he promises. So let us follow the path, built with the stepping stones laid before us by others who are following the way. And let us remember that we are indeed precious stones built upon the living cornerstone. Amen.